Music stopped. Ready, set, go. Just kidding. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Lighthouse. Amen. We're glad that each and every one of you chose to come to the house of the Lord today. We are better when we are all together. We're welcoming everybody on Facebook, also able to join us there. If you're able to make it to the house of the Lord, I encourage you to. There's just something about coming together. You get to see each other, be able to support one another, and just encourage each other. We have a few announcements. As you'll notice, there's several people and several families missing. Our pastors are on vacation. They went on a cruise. Be praying for them to have a wonderful time away, and be praying for them for safe travels. We also wanted to let everybody know that if you haven't heard, our bishop of the PCG has passed away, Bishop Wilson. He has a visitation and a viewing coming up on Thursday in Ohio, and then Friday it's in Kentucky. There's details if you need to ask Pastor Caleb or myself or Jesse. We can help you show where to find those if you're wanting to go. The youth service that was going to be in the lock-in that was going to take place, that has been canceled, so everybody can take some time to celebrate bishops entering into heaven, to take some time to grieve and just to let everybody be together. We have an adult game night coming up at Brother Gary and Sister Melissa Lieb's house. Please let them know if you're able to come. It's going to be a great time of just getting together and fellowshipping. There's a men's conference coming up May 6th from 9 to 3:30 in Sydney, Ohio. And there's a $35 fee for adults. Teens go free. It's for men. If you have Caleb, are you able to direct people for that if they need something? It's on Jason Jordan's The Kingsmen page. They have it on Facebook, too, if you're on Facebook. We're going to have prayer for kids graduating, either college or high school. So if you have a senior, somebody graduating, let them know that it's going to be Sunday, May 7th. Also, want everybody to be praying and preparing for Wednesday nights. We're going to be changing the literature. We're still having family night, still having Bible study. But we're getting ready to gear up for what we call around here Target season. Target stands for taking a real God experience to town. So we want to make sure that when we're doing that, we are equipped. You know, some people have a little bit harder time able to go up and talk to people. My husband always makes fun of me. He says, April, do you know a stranger? And I always say, not for long, because I just enjoy talking to people. And I know that's not for everybody, but we want everybody to know and be equipped. So we'll be doing some lessons on the reach and teach, for discipleship and for outreach. So everybody, that's our announcements for the week, and Brother Jesse's going to come for our call to worship. Good morning.
Praise the Lord, church. It's good to be here with everyone this morning. Thankful that you're here. How many of you know God's doing something good in your life?
Amen.
Amen. If you don't see it, He's working behind the scenes, and you'll see it soon. Amen? So scripture I wanted to read this morning is found in John chapter 11, verse 25. And it says this, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. And just to give a quick backstory here, Mary and Martha were friends of Jesus, and their brother Lazarus was also. Well, they sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was sick and Jesus needed to come and heal him. So Jesus stayed where he was for 4 days and Lazarus died. And so this was the conversation Jesus was having with Martha, explaining to her that I am the resurrection and the life, and anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. So God laid these things in my heart, and I want to say, don't lose hope. Mary and Martha were no doubt hopeless at this point in that situation. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days when Jesus came. So by human thinking, Lazarus was dead, right? There was no hope of life in Lazarus. But Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life.
Hallelujah.
Right? And if you know the story, Jesus said, roll the stone away. And she said, well, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. That's not a good idea. And Jesus is like, you still don't understand. And so what did Jesus do? He said, Lazarus, come forth. Mm-hmm. And what did he do? Lazarus got up, bound in his grave clothes, and came out of the tomb. He said, Lazarus, come out, because if he would have said, come out, every dead person in there would have came out. Amen. Because Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. He has life within him, right? Amen. He has the power to give life. So I want to encourage you. Sometimes we get discouraged because we think God's late, right? You ever had a situation where you think, God, you probably should have done something by now, right? God, you had an opportunity to move and come through for me, but I think you're late, or you're not going to come through. You're not going to do it at all. Sometimes we like to tell God how to be God. I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes we do, right? We like to argue and say, well, God, your way isn't the best way. If you would have done it this way, the outcome would have been better. I must be the only one that's ever done that.
You're right.
Okay, I got one honest Christian right back here. But we sometimes forget that God has the power to create something from nothing. In our situations, when we see no hope, God has the power to create something from nothing.
Amen.
Amen. I want to say this too. If God has given you a dream to accomplish something for him, and it's a God-given dream, that's the goal, that's a God-given dream, do not lose hope, because in his timing, God will bring it to pass. And it will be in his time, and it will be in his way, and it will be according to his will. So I want to encourage you, don't give up. God is going to be right on time. Amen? All right, so if you would stand with me this morning, we'll pray over the tithes and offerings as we bring them. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you thanks for your goodness, for your mercies in our lives, God. We just pray that you bless these tithes and offerings and use them to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need.
Thank you.
some of you know that He is all you need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship You. Talk about the elephant in the room. Everybody hear the squeal? Everybody hearing the squeal? No, you didn't hear the squeal? So if it's bugging you, you need to grab it and cast it away from you right now in the name of Jesus, because you're a little subdued. So either it's because pastor's not here, or because you're hearing the squeal like I'm hearing the squeal, which is bugging me, just to let you know. But how many of you know that we don't have to have everything perfect to worship Jesus? Many of you sitting in the building this morning remember a time when there wasn't any PA system. Or if there was, it was one microphone with a sound thing up here and you were adjusting as you went. Or one guitar and a guitarist who could only sing or play in one key. Anybody remember those days? But you know what you did? You came to worship Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. Would you with me this morning tell Him how great He is? Hallelujah. 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 The Ancient of Days. Hallelujah. You are all I need. Hallelujah. 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 The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun. The Savior of the world was fallen, His body on the cross, His blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon Him. Oh, and looked away. The Son of God was hid in darkness. A battle on the grave. The war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broke.
Forever He is risen.
Hallelujah. 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 Sister Paisley's going to come and sing a song this morning. I want you to remain standing. We tell people when we have somebody up here, they're not singing a special and they're not entertaining anybody. They're worshiping. And as they share their song, they're telling what Jesus has done for them. It's part of their testimony. That's why they sing, not to show you how cool of a voice they got, but because they want to say, Jesus has done this for me, and I want to share it with this song. So Sister Paisley is going to sing this song, and it's loud, and it's rocky. You ready, old folks? It's rocky, because I got a lot of 60s kids in here. But when we get to this part, it might get loud. I need you to sing it this morning, because Jesus has done something for you.
It might not be on key, but it's from my heart. And no one else can tell it what the Lord has done for me. So this might take all day, so I better start right now.
And it might get loud.
It might get loud. Heaven's coming down.
Want.
Oh, I cannot praise him as loud.
Praise the Lord. Amen. One more time, give him a shout this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Years ago, I heard a minister who said, you may be seated this morning. Years ago, I heard a minister who felt like he was being attacked from the enemy. And he said, he was in the grocery store, and he said, I told the devil, if you don't leave me alone, I'm going to kneel right down here in the middle of this grocery store and start praising Jesus really loud. Sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to get loud with God and with the devil. Amen. We have to tell him, listen, I'm in this for the long haul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now we're going to let the children be dismissed this morning. Kids going to children's church this morning. We appreciate all of our children's workers. How many appreciate them? How many of you know that that can be a challenging job? But it is a rewarding job. It's the best job they ever have. It's sometimes unsung. Nobody pays attention to exactly what you're doing, but you're putting your heart and soul in that, and it's important, and it's important for us to recognize those workers. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, we have nursery this morning, but you may want to, well, I guess nursery folks are coming too, so. I see babies back there too, Sister Becky. It's a bottleneck back there. We're so happy and glad to have Brother, I'm going to say, I butcher his name up all the time. I say Darius, and that's wrong. Darius. Is that right? Darius? Darius. Dunya, I got Dunya's name. I'll probably mess your name up for a long time, so I'm just wanting to let you know. But we're so happy and glad to have them here this morning, we're so excited for what God is doing in them. We're so excited to have them a part of our family. And the only Spanish mi familia, right? Is that right? I get two or three Spanish words. But we're so grateful to have you here. And we're excited about what God is going to do this morning. Brother Darius, come in. Sister Dunya? You know what my dream
is. God is so good. The mighty God, we serve a beautiful God. Before I preach the word of God this morning, I want to have my wife share something from her heart with you guys. And I'm going to translate for her. Don't worry. This time you won't need the gift of interpretation of tongues to be able to understand what she's saying. So, man, you guys look beautiful this morning. And you know what makes you look beautiful? It's the presence of God. I mean, nice makeup, nice suit. I'm digging that suit, I'm telling you. But what makes us really, really different and beautiful is the presence that regenerates, that transforms, that changes, that brings a whole new level of life and life more abundantly. Amen. And that's only because of Jesus. We are here because of Jesus, and He is in the midst of us. He is alive. He is alive.
¿Quién vive?
Who is alive? Jesus, right?
Cristo. ¿Quién vive?
Who is alive? Christ.
¿Quién vive?
Who is alive? Jesus.
Y a su nombre.
And to His name.
Gloria. Gloria sea el Señor. Póngase de pie en esta mañana.
Can you stand up one more minute this morning, please? Stand up one more minute, please.
Yo quisiese compartir con ustedes un salmo.
I want to share with you, just to read.
Que es el número 84, si puede, por favor, buscarlo.
A scripture in the book of Psalms.
Salmo 84.
84, if you can find it there in your Bible or your phone or whatever. Psalms 84.
Mientras que lo está buscando, quiero decirle que este quien escribió era un peregrino que hacía mucho tiempo no había podido ir a la casa del Señor.
And as you're looking for that Psalms, let me tell you that the writer was a pilgrimage that wasn't being able to go to the house of God for some time.
Y entonces en su caminar él escribió este salmo.
And as he was walking, he wrote the psalm.
Anhelo por la casa de Dios.
Desiring to be in the house of God.
Y eso es lo que tienen todos los que creemos en el Señor, tenemos ese anhelo.
And everyone here who believes in God
de venir
must
a la casa
have
del Señor.
The desire to come to the house of God.
Cuando pasa el tiempo, amén, amén.
Amen, amen.
Cuando pasa el tiempo y no podemos venir por una situación
when
de
we,
enfermedad.
When we can't come to the house of God because of some situations,
o algún
maybe a disease,
otro problema,
or any other problem.
Nos viene la nostalgia porque sentimos la necesidad de poder venir a la casa del Señor a poder alabarle y adorarle.
We feel sad because we feel the need to come to the house of God to worship Him and praise
amén,
His name.
Amén. Y a darle un buen tiempo a Dios.
And to give God our best time.
Pero también tenemos la necesidad de que el Señor nos muestre algo, nos dé algo.
But we also have the need that the Lord will show us something and give us something.
Como renovar nuestra fuerza.
Like renewing our strength.
Llenarnos de aliento para poder seguir el otro día.
Fill us with encouragement to keep
danos
going
esperanza.
The next day. Give us hope.
Porque necesitamos, hermanos,
because we need, my brothers and sisters,
un alimento espiritual para nuestro espíritu.
The spiritual food for our spirits.
Porque nosotros somos también espirituales, no solamente carnales.
Because we are spiritual beings, not just flesh beings.
Siempre hemos escuchado en una ocasión, en muchas ocasiones,
many times we have heard
que dice que el alimento chatarra hace daño al cuerpo.
That junk food damages your body.
Hasta enfermarte.
And it can make you sick.
Y que necesitamos comer bien.
And that we need to eat healthy.
Pues así sucede con el espíritu si no comemos bien y
it's
solamente
the same thing with the spiritual food. If we don't eat well and healthy food spiritually.
Estamos escuchando nada más lo que está sucediendo en el mundo.
If we are just listening to the things that are happening in the world.
Nos enfermamos espiritualmente.
We get sick spiritually.
Y entonces cuando viene que no tenemos fuerza,
and that's when you don't have strength.
No tenemos esperanza.
You don't have hope.
Y la fe se contamina.
And then faith is contaminated.
Pero por eso es que estamos aquí, porque queremos una
but
fe firme.
That's why we're here,
porque queremos tener esperanza
to have the
de que
right
va a venir algo mejor para nuestras
and the
vidas,
right faith that
para
the best
los que vienen más adelante,
are yet to come,
para este
to
mundo.
Keep forward for
estamos
this world.
Aquí porque necesitamos estar alimentados
we
espiritualmente.
Are here we need to be fed spiritually.
Porque la palabra es viva, dice el Señor.
Because the word of God is
es
alive.
Eficaz y más cortante que toda espada
it's
de doble filo.
It's a double-edged sword
que penetra
that can come in the inside.
Hasta partir
and it can
todas
break
las coyunturas,
everything in
todas
your
las durezas del corazón,
and the hardness of heart,
y nos hace sensibles,
and make us sensitive.
Nos hace como Dios quiere que
make
seamos.
Us the way what God wants us to be.
Gloria sea al Señor.
Glory to God.
Por el anhelo que debemos tener cada uno y que usted lo tiene porque ha venido en esta mañana.
For the desire that we need to have.
Por las cosas del Señor.
For the things of God, and that's why you're here this morning.
Pues este peregrino se sentía muy triste.
This traveler was really sad.
En un versículo decía, hasta las aves pueden anidar en tu templo.
And even in a verse, he said, even the birds can make a nest in your temple.
¿Sabes por qué? Porque él no tenía esa oportunidad.
You know why he was wanting that opportunity?
Nosotros tenemos esa oportunidad.
We do have that opportunity.
Es una decisión del corazón.
And it's a decision from the
tú
heart.
Tú decides venir.
You are the one
tú
who decides
buscar.
To come and seek him.
Dice así la palabra del Señor.
And the word of God says this.
Cuán amables son tus moradas, oh
how
Jehová.
How lovely is your tabernacle,
oh
Lord
Jehová
of hosts.
De los ejércitos. Anhela mi alma.
My soul longs.
Y aún ardientemente desea los atrios de
yes,
Jehová.
Even faints for the courts of the Lord.
Mi corazón y mi carne
my
cantan
heart and my flesh
al Dios vivo.
Cry out for the living
mi corazón
God.
Y mi carne
my
este cuerpo canta al Dios vivo.
My flesh
eso es lo que tú hiciste en esta mañana.
God. That's what you did
gloria
this morning.
Señor. Tu corazón,
your heart,
tu carne,
your flesh,
cantó a tu Salvador,
your Savior,
aquel que cambió tu lamento en baile,
the one that changed your
aquel que te dijo que
gladness,
tú podías seguir,
the one
aquel
that said
que te alimenta cada
on,
día para saber
the one that said,
que
that
puede
gave you
venir
the wisdom,
muchas más bendiciones
for you to know that more
y mucho más poder
and
para
more
tu vida, para tu familia,
for your life, for your families,
y para los que no tienen esperanza
and
todavía,
for those who have no hope in the world.
Dice aún el versículo 3, aún el gorrión haya casa.
It says verse 3, even the sparrow has found a home.
Y la golondrina nido para sí.
And the swallow a nest for herself.
Donde ponga sus polluelos.
Where she may lay her young.
Cerca de tus altares,
even
oh Jehová.
Altars, oh Lord of
Jehová
hosts.
De los ejércitos. Rey mío.
My king.
Y Dios mío.
My God.
Ahora dice, bienaventurados.
Blessed are those
los que habitan en tu casa.
Who dwell in your house.
Dile al que está a tu lado y tócale, bienaventurado tú eres.
Tell your neighbor you are blessed.
Tres veces feliz.
You say you are
tres
happy
veces
three
feliz.
Times.
Bienaventurado
you
tú eres.
You are blessed.
Porque estás habitando en la casa
because
de tu Dios.
You're dwelling in the house of God.
Perpetuamente te alabarán.
They will still be praising you.
Bienaventurado el hombre que tiene en ti su fuerza.
Blessed is the man whose strength is in you.
En cuyo corazón están tus caminos.
Whose heart is set on pilgrimage.
Escuche bien.
Listen well.
Analice bien.
Think about this.
Atravesando el valle de lágrimas.
As they pass
lo
through
van
the valley
a cambiar en fuentes.
Of Baca, they make it a spring.
Dice el Señor, en el mundo tendréis aflicción.
The Lord says, you will have sorrows
in the world. En el mundo tendréis aflicción.
You will have sadness
pero
in the
confía,
world.
Yo he vencido al mundo.
I have conquered the world.
Confía en el Señor.
Trust
porque
the Lord.
Él está peleando.
Because he's fighting for you. He's fighting for you. And you will win
because
he's fighting for you. Because he conquered the world.
Todo lo que se te puede enfrentar.
Anything against you, he's going to conquer that too.
Dice el versículo 7, irán de poder
verse 7 says,
en poder.
They go from strength to strength.
Verán a Dios en Sion.
Each one appears before God
te veré,
in Zion.
Señor, dile, te veré,
you
Señor.
Can say, God, I will see you in Zion.
Flaquearé, me sentiré un poco triste.
Sometimes I'll be sad, I'll be
no
weak.
Tendré fuerzas muchas
sometimes
veces,
no strength
pero
many times.
He decidido buscarte.
But I have made up my mind
por
to
eso,
seek
Señor,
you. That's why,
verán
Lord,
mis ojos,
my eyes
el cielo, la
will
eternidad.
See you in the eternity.
Verán a Dios en Sion.
My eyes will see you in Zion.
Jehová Dios de los ejércitos.
Oh Lord, God of hosts.
Oye mi oración.
Hear my prayer.
Escucho Dios de Jacob.
Give ear, O God of Jacob.
Mira, oh Dios.
Oh God, behold.
Escudo nuestro.
Our shield.
Y pon los ojos en el rostro de tu ungido.
And look upon the face of your anointed.
Porque mejor es un día en tus atrios.
For a day in your courts.
Que mil fuera de ellos.
Is better than a thousand.
Escogería antes
I would rather be a doorkeeper
a la puerta de la casa
in the
de
house
Dios
of my God
que habitar en
than
moradas
dwell in the tents of wickedness.
Porque sol y
for the Lord God is a sun and shield.
Él es tu sol.
He's
Él
your
es
sun.
Tu
He's your protector. He's your shield.
Nada que se levante contra
nothing
puede
against
prosperar.
You will be able to
el
prosper.
Él dice
the
que
Lord
Él
never lies.
Es tu escudo.
He says He's your shield.
No quitará el bien.
The Lord will give grace and glory.
A los que andan en integridad.
No good thing will He withhold from
Jehová,
those who walk uprightly.
Jehová de los ejércitos.
Oh Lord of hosts.
Dichoso el hombre.
Blessed is the man
que en ti confía.
Who trusts you in you.
Y dile al que está a tu lado.
Before I go, just touch your
estás
neighbor.
En el mejor lugar.
And tell your neighbor, you're in the best
estás
place.
En el mejor lugar
you are in the best place
que puede estar cualquier otra persona.
That anybody else can be.
Estás en la casa del Señor.
You're in the house of God.
Y quiero decirte que Dios se siente obligado, como alguien un día te dijo a ti.
Like
Dios
one time,
se siente obligado.
Like one time somebody told my husband,
a bendecirte.
God is
Dios se siente obligado
committed to bless
a responder
you.
Las
he is responsible to bless you.
Porque tú lo
and he
estás
will
buscando.
Answer your blessings
tú estás haciendo
and
tu
answer
parte.
Your prayers because you're seeking him.
Y Dios va a hacer la de él.
And God will do his part
a él la
always
gloria.
For him
a
the
él
glory.
La honra. A
to
él
him
la
the
alabanza.
Honor. To
gracias
him the praise.
Dios,
thank you God.
Porque somos sabios,
because we are wise.
Y hemos sido inteligentes,
and we're being smart not because of us but we have known
dónde poner nuestros pies,
where to set our feet.
Y enderezar nuestro camino.
And you get our steps straight.
Vamos a repetirlos todos juntos.
And I just want to read again so we can see verse 10.
Al unísono, todos unidos. Al conteo de tres. Lo tiene todos. Uno.
I would love you to read verse 10.
One, two, three.
For a day
porque mejor
in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness.
Amén. Gloria a Dios. Gloria sea al Señor. Amen. Cerramos nuestros ojos.
Let's pray together for the word of God.
Señor, te damos muchas gracias.
Lord, we thank you this morning.
Y te alabamos y adoramos tu
and
nombre.
We praise you and we worship your
gracias
name.
Gracias por haberte conocido.
Thank you for knowing you.
Gracias por atraernos con tanto amor
thank
inmerecido.
Thank you for attracting us with
gracias
such
por darnos
love.
La oportunidad, Dios.
Thank you for the opportunity
de poder, Señor,
of being able
ser llamado la niña de tus ojos.
To be called the apple of your
un
eyes.
Precioso regalo.
You are a precious
gracias
gift.
Por tenernos en la palma
thank
de
you
tus
for
manos.
Having us in the palm of your hands.
Gracias por tu bendición.
Thank you for your blessings.
Señor, que tu palabra,
Lord, may your word
cobre, Señor, la vida,
will take
en nuestra
place in our lives,
en nuestras emociones,
in our emotions, in our reasoning.
Entra a nuestro espíritu,
come to our spirit
y llénanos, oh Dios,
and fill us, God.
Corrígenos,
correct us.
Instruyenos,
instruct us.
Y alimentanos
and
en esta
feed
mañana,
us
Santo.
This morning with your word.
Necesitamos de ti.
We need you.
Así como el siervo brama por las corrientes de las aguas.
We need you.
Así clama por ti, oh Dios, el alma mía.
My soul cries
alma
out for you.
Necesidad de ti,
my soul has need of you.
Mi alma quiere cambiar.
My soul wants
mi
to change.
Quiere cambiar.
My life wants to change.
Quiero, Señor, oh Dios, ser más fuerte.
I want
que
to
la
be
carne,
stronger
Dios.
In you.
Dame, Señor, oh Dios, la
give me, God,
que
the word that I need
para vencer
to be able
con el bien,
to win
el mal.
And conquer evil with good.
Jesús, que sobre
in
todo
Jesus'
nombre.
Name, which is above
amén.
All names.
Y
amen.
Amén.
And amen.
Un aplauso a tu Dios.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap.
Un aplauso a tu Dios. Alábalo.
Give him a hand. Thank you. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What a beautiful morning. Thank you, Caleb. Oh, I'm excited about the word of God this morning. Praise God. Man, she's hard to interpret for. She didn't understand what I said. That's good. So I'm not in trouble at all. So that's good. That's good. Que eres difícil para traducir, pero como no lo entendiste, no me meto en problemas. Well, how many of you are thankful for our pastor? You know, when I think how God allowed me and my family to come here to Cary, Ohio, and just be part of the family here, and I have the privilege, and I'm going to say this like this. No excuses, no disclaimer. I have the privilege to pray with my pastor almost every morning from 5:30 a.m. And I'm going to tell you this. I have been a pastor for over 20 years, and I was overseeing around 200 pastors in my country. So I know what a pastor's life is. And this church is way blessed for having a man of God like Pastor Joe and his lovely wife, Alicia. They're a beautiful team. So I have been preaching in different places. So when I was talking to him about the places I go to preach, because he's my pastor, he needs to know where I'm going, because I want his blessing and his prayers. He told me, brother, you better write down on your calendar the 16th, because I'm going to be out and I need you to be there. And I said, right on, man. So when I saw that he was preaching on this doctrines in the book of Hebrews, and last Sunday it was Resurrection Day, I kind of felt in my spirit that I should stay this Sunday on the resurrection again, because there's so much about the resurrection of Christ that we cannot say it's just a day once a year. Because resurrection is the foundation of our faith. You take resurrection out of our faith, and all we have is a club. All we have is a group of people that say they believe in a God that is not even alive. We take the resurrection factor out of our faith, and we take everything out of our faith. The Apostle Paul said it one time when he said, if Jesus is not alive, folks, I mean, pity on us. What are we? What are we doing? We're miserable. But because he is alive, we're blessed. We're in the right path. We have the faith set on the right and only God. Now, resurrection It's so important. And this morning, I want to speak to you on the title, Life Through the Lens of Resurrection. And my whole point will be that every event in your life somehow will reflect how the disciples encountered the resurrection of Christ. Now, listen closely, because what I'm saying is that resurrection is the lens that you can look through, and depending on how you decide to look through, you will have an outcome depending on the way you look at resurrection. And I will prove it to you, because there is a powerful revelation in the scripture that we're going to use this morning, which is in the book of John, chapter 20, from verse 1 through 8. And before I read the word of God, let me tell you a little story that happened to me. I had the privilege one time to be invited by some pastor friends, Pastor Randall Black in Waynesboro, Virginia, to do revival meetings for his church. And then one of the mornings, he invited me to come to a place called Monticello, where is the house of the third president of the United States of America, Thomas Jefferson. When I entered the place, I was enjoying history. But then when they heard that there was a Cuban or foreigner visiting, they offered me the great privilege to give me a private tour in the facilities. That was a blessing, because I was able to go into rooms that regular people do not go to. And one of the things that caught my attention is that I was able to see a letter that was written by him. They had it framed. And it was a letter that described a trip that he took with his granddaughters to a beautiful place called Natural Bridge. But on the way, they faced difficulties, and they faced a really bad storm. One of the wheels of the wagon that they were driving broke, and it got muddy. One of the granddaughters lost her purse. They had to stay overnight in the place. So when they came back, there was a letter that was written, and he even asked his granddaughters to kind of write a part of the letter, because this letter was addressed to Martha and his daughter. And then granddaughters, Helen and Cornelia, they said something about the trip. Now, what's interesting is that Jefferson said about the trip that it was okay. And maybe, he said, maybe Helen and Cornelia will be able to muster up something. If they can, if they want to, they can say something about the trip. Which Helen then said that the trip was horrible. It was horrible. It got muddy. One of the wheels was broken. I don't want to go back to that place. Now Cornelia, on the other hand, she wrote an extensive part of the letter saying that despite all the difficulties, when she saw the beauty of Natural Bridge, she was amazed, and she said, I cannot wait to go back there. So three people that experienced the same thing. Three people that saw the same thing, but they had different opinions. The same thing happened in the scripture that we're going to use this morning. So if you have it, it's going to be on the screen. But I will not read it. You can read it up back there if you want to. I'm just going to talk about it. But the scripture that we're using has 8 verses this morning. And it just describes how Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early in the morning. And then as she went, she found that the stone was moved. And then she thought that somebody had taken the body of the master. Then she went to the disciples and told them. And then John and Peter, when they heard the news, they ran to the tomb. Now, it seems to be that Peter was half Cuban. I'm just kidding with you. Because he couldn't outrun John. Too much rice and beans, probably. But the story says that the Apostle John got there first. And the Bible says that he saw the same thing that Mary Magdalene had seen. Now, when Peter gets there all sweaty and tired and breathless, well, there's a joke actually about that that some young people do in church, at least in Cuba. And I know you young people here is very fun. But they say, you know why John got to the tomb first? Why? Well, because John has 1, 2, and 3rd gears or epistles. That's bad. But then Peter only has 1 and 2. So that's why John beat him. He tapped into a Hussein Bolt an anointing. And yeah, it's fun. Church is fun, guys. So, that's why he got there first. He saw what he saw. Then Peter got it like, man, you're fast. And then Peter saw. But the Bible gives us a little bit more of details. The linen cloths, the handkerchief folded, different places. So the evangelist John is giving us more details of what Peter saw. Now, the Bible says that John came in to the tomb. So for the second time, he's like, I want to see closer. I got here first. I saw something. But now I want to see more. And he got deeper. And then when he got deeper, the Bible says he saw. And then the scripture says something there. And believed. That's very interesting. Because, folks, the thing is that when we look at this, we see three people that saw the same thing, but they saw it differently. And when I said resurrection is so important, that will dictate how you see situations in your life that might be happening to somebody else, but you don't have to see it the same way some other people see it. Now, the decision to see things in a way is not the Holy Spirit's. It's yours. Sometimes you hear people saying, the Holy Spirit led me to see it like this. If the Holy Spirit led you to see it in the flesh, it wasn't Him. The decision to look at things in a way or another is ours. Now, if you see the scripture, we have 8 verses, but there is one word that is written or appears 4 times in 8 verses. There's one word in these 8 verses that appears 4 times. Let me give you a tip for Bible readers. When you see a word repeated many times in a short number of verses, you better go deeper. There must be something that the Holy Spirit wants you to get. But because the Bible was translated in English, all we see is the same word 4 times, which is the word saw. Past tense for the word, help me preach here, see. Yeah, thank you. I told him, help me preach this morning. I told him. So it is so important and interesting that when we see the word saw, we just see, okay, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, she saw. And then John came, he saw. Peter came, he saw. Then Jane came again, and he saw and believed. But when we go to the original language, folks, we see a whole new revelation that confirms that life will have outcomes depending on the way you see your God. Because when Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, and the Bible says that she saw that the stone was moved, The Greek word we find is the word blippo. It's a very simple word. It's spelled B-L, short E, P-O. You pronounce it blippo, which is just to see something with your natural eyes. And then when the Bible says that John came and outran Peter and he saw the same thing, again, the Bible tells us he blippo. He saw. But then it's so interesting that when Peter came in and the Bible says he saw the linen clothes, now the writers do not use the verb blepo anymore. They used a different Greek word. And it's the word from where we get the English word theory, because the Greek word, there's the word theorio. Now, everything changes, because now when the Apostle John comes to the tomb the second time, the writers do not use blepo anymore. So there was a shift in the way John saw the resurrection. Because now the Greek word is a totally different word. It's the word eidos. You can pronounce it eiden, eidos. It's E-I-D-O-S or E-I-D-O at the end. Now, for you to understand this, let me give you some practical examples. Blepo doesn't need much explanation. Let me make an abuse of the Greek here. I'm abusing Greek here. I'm blepoing my brothers, Jesse and his wife. I'm just blepo Betty. Blepo is just to see something with your natural eyes. Now, theorio, okay. How many husbands, I'm going to get in trouble here, but that's all right. How many husbands love to go shopping with your wives? Thank you. I saw you. Why? Well, generally husbands, we go to the store, we go get what we need and bounce back. You get it, bouncing back. But women, when they go to the store, bless their hearts, they go through stuff and they analyze prices and they try to see if they need this or they don't. And sometimes they don't, but they think they still need it. I said I was going to get in trouble. But the thing is that they are able to process more than us men. Women can see things we cannot see. Now, I got you now, ladies, huh? So what they do is they see and theorio. So when the Apostle Peter got to the tomb, he saw the linen cloths. That's why John writes about it. He sees the handkerchief and he sees and he processes what he sees. He goes, could it be? How? When? Who? But then when John comes a second time, let me give you the example. How many people here love flying, of course, in airplanes? Very few. Most of the people don't like it. That's all right. But you go to, it says that 88% of Americans have flown in a plane. 88%. 12% says they've never been in a plane. And guess what? Only less than 1%, actually 0.05% of Americans have a pilot license. 88%, they've been in a plane. And they have trusted 0.05%. You know where I'm going with this. You have no idea how the plane works. You have no idea what aerodynamics is, probably. You have no idea. I mean, you see those flight attendants, they are trained to smile even though the plane is crashing. I hate that. I was flying to Africa one time. And then when we were going to almost landing in England, the plane did something weird. And I looked at her like, tell me what's going on. And you can see her face. I'm sweating bullets here, and you're smiling. They know how it works. We don't. But I have to sit on a plane for hours to get to my destination. Even though I don't know how it works, I trust that the pilot is qualified to take me where I'm going. 88% trusting in 0.05. Now, if God is the 0.05% you have left, you have all you need to make it to the right place at the right time. Because if you can trust a pilot that you don't know, if you can trust in the aerodynamics that you don't know how they work, if you can trust in that big iron bird that you don't know how it was built, that will take you to where you're going, I'm telling you right now, then when you go Iden, is when you understand this principle. Faith do not have to understand everything. Faith only believes. So when John came the first time, he saw the tomb in his natural eyes. When Peter came, he saw the tomb with his rationale. Logic, emotions, theory, could it be? But when John came in the second time, he said, I don't understand, but I believe. He said one time he was going to do this. I don't know how it happened. I don't have the details, but I decide to believe. Here's the thing, folks. If you live life through the lens of blepo, you will always be sad. You will always be depressed. You will never succeed in life. Because everything is natural. Actually, let me say it like this. If you see life through the lens of blepo, you need to be born again. And I say it with a smile. You need to be born again. But if you live life through the eyes of theory, you will never, you might be safe, but you will never experience the supernatural power of faith that works in mysterious ways. Because when you try to reason everything and find the whys and the whos and the hows of everything that happens to you, you're going to live a very miserable faith type of life. Amen. Now, when you decide to see the events of your life and see through the lens of Ida's, then you will start experiencing how your faith grows and you get to see God answering things that were impossible. But again, it's your decision. It's your decision when something that makes no sense is happening to you. It's your decision to look at things with your logic. It's your decision to look at things with your flesh. It's your decision to look at things with your faith. It's your decision. Now, this is a law. The outcome of your situation depends on how you look at resurrection and which lens will you choose. Because if you always have a natural perspective on everything, the flesh will take over all the time. If you have a theoretical perspective or rational perspective about everything, there will be things you will never have an answer for. But if you decide to go through the perspective of faith, things can change. Medical report. Someone who passed away in your family. Things that make no sense. Have you ever, like I said, I've been a pastor for a while, and I've had people coming to me and say, I'm doing everything God tells me to do. I don't know why I'm going through this. That's your rational right there. I've always been a good person. Why do I have to go through this? That's your rational plus flesh. But if you say, Pastor, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't even understand. But no matter what, I keep trusting my God. He can walk me through this. He can take me out of this. He can answer my prayers. He's got the last say. That's a different perspective. And the outcome will be different. I asked this question one time. I asked this question in Cuba to my church, and I said, how many of you would like to have the Apostle Paul as your pastor? And then they all just jumped in. Amen! And I said, you guys have no clue what you're talking about. You get mad at me because sometimes I tell you something. As a pastor, I correct you. You better read his epistles. Guy, he didn't cut no corners at all. I mean, he was just... Whoosh. There was one thing about the Apostle Paul that I really appreciate too. He was honest enough to acknowledge when he was weak. Because we live in a time and era where all the men of God out there, they just want to portray they're strong. And if you're not strong, then you lack of faith. That's a lie. Let me say it again. That's a lie. We all have weaknesses. We all need God's grace. God's grace. And there's a scripture in the Bible that reveals to us how the anointed Paul, the great Paul, the Bible writer Paul, the man of God Paul, faced a moment in his life where he was blepo, theorio, but he was able to transition to Eden. Because here's the good news. If God will judge us for every time we go blepo, we'll be doomed. If God will judge us for every time we use our logic and reason, we'll be doomed. But God in his goodness allows us to transition. Sometimes we see things in the flesh and then we start finding the reasons and the answers. And then when we realize that we are not going nowhere, it's when we say, you know what? I got to use my faith in this one because I have no other choice than using my faith. And then God says, you learned the lesson now, boy. And that's exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul. I have a scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. I'm going to read those verses. It says, listen to this, folks. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. That we were burdened beyond measure. He wrote that. Now, I would never write about my shortcomings. But since the Bible was not written originally by men, but by the Holy Spirit using men, he inspired Paul to write this to us so we can understand that the same thing could happen to us. But thanks be to God and the Holy Spirit that we have the Word of God that warn us not to fall in the same trap so we can just skip the bad part and jump to the triumph that we have in Jesus. It says, we were burdened beyond measure, above strength. Have you ever been there? It says, so that we despaired even of life. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It says next, yes, we had the sense of death in ourselves. I'm going to stop right there because I have a tricky question. He said they had the sentence of death in themselves. Who is the one that sentences the children of God and the only one who can sentence the children of God to death. Now all folks, Pentecostals, will say, the devil is a liar. And I say, yeah, he is a liar. But you know, the devil has no power to sentence any child of God to death. The only one that has the power and authority to sentence our lives to death is the one that gave us life. Remember Job? He wanted to kill the servant of God. Satan wanted to kill him. And God said, you can touch everything he has, but devil can't touch his life. Can't touch his life. The devil cannot touch your life. But I'm sick, Pastor. He cannot touch your life. And here it is. When Paul experienced, he said, my ministry is over. My life is over. This is the end of everything. He understood that it was the end of everything. The anointed Paul, the great Paul, the writer Paul, the man of faith Paul said, life is over. But he gives us a secret revealed. He says, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. And here we go. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and thus deliver us in him. Whom we trust that he will still deliver us. So what he's saying is we felt like it was over. But God allowed it to the point that we felt that it was over so we could learn a lesson that we should not trust in ourselves. And folks, when we changed from blepo to theoreo, to Aiden, God showed up and showed off, delivered us, and he taught us a lesson. He will still deliver us from the trials to come. This thing worked, folks. How you see it will determine the outcome. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe it doesn't make any sense. But God sent me to tell you it's time to transition from blepo to Aiden. Everybody in this place, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, the type of car you drive, like someone says, I don't care how many degrees you have, you might have more degrees than a thermometer, but everybody in this place has gone to situations where you don't know what to do. And we call those crossroads. And you have to decide, how do you see that situation? That moment of life. And I just want to help you, and I'll give you some tips or advices. In case you're in one of those situations this morning, to look at Jesus who is alive. And because he's alive, you don't need to see that situation with your natural eyes. You don't even have to burn your brain finding an answer. You can see it through the lens of faith. Trusting that the good pilot will make your plane land safely. Number one, give yourself a second chance. Give yourself a second chance. Don't be so hard on yourself. If you go through a blepo and you mess things up, give yourself a second chance. Just like John did. He came the first time. He didn't get it. But when he came the second time, he got it. Religion and men will give you only one chance, and sometimes half a chance. Once you blow it, they want to kill your faith. They want to delete you from the book of life. They want to cast you out for everything. But God is the God of second chance. If it wouldn't be for that, right? Give yourself a second chance so you can see things differently. Number two, jump into God's arms as a kid jumps into his dad's arms. Have you seen kids doing that? When my daughter was little, I used to play the Pentecostal game with her. You know the Pentecostal. She'd be standing in bed and I'll be, take it! And she'll fall back. She knew there was a mattress. And she also knew she was playing with Papa. I like the old days when there were no catchers behind people falling in church. Oh, I'm going to get here somewhere. I like those days. No catchers. If you fall, yeah, it had to be the power of God. One time we were in a service, people were falling down. And then I see one of the guys doing this. Because, I mean, everybody's falling down. I need to fall down. What are they going to say about me? But that happens in Cuba only. It doesn't happen in America. That doesn't happen here at all. But I love those days. No catchers. Because if you fall, it had to be the Spirit of God. Of course, now we have catchers because people will just file a lawsuit and all that against the church. They push me and they hit my face back. And that's why sometimes we have to use, man, oh man, we need the Holy Ghost again to do that kind of thing. Yeah. And it's so fantastic that my daughter would just fall back hard. She knew she was okay. When I was preparing this advice, this little tip here that says, jump into God's arms as a kid jumps into his dad's arms, a picture came to my mind. Have you ever seen a movie, and I hope you never get to see that in real life, and we don't want to see that in real life. We don't, seriously, we don't. But we've seen it in movies where a suicidal jumps into a cliff. Because why do they do it? Because there's no hope. They're hopeless. They say, okay, this is it. You watch those sad videos of people jumping from 9/11 towers in New York. You see, it's pretty sad. See, that's the way somehow we should jump into God's arms. Like there's no hope in any other place than him. And guess what? He'll catch you. He will never let you fall. See, Satan tried to confuse Jesus using the same strategy. And Jesus said, it's not a matter of jumping from this building, Satan. It's a matter of trusting God and believing in his word and not tempting him. Number three, fight against the monster of depression and rejection. Depression and rejection is a monster. It's ugly. If you've never been depressed, let me know how you did it. We need to know your secret. But if you beat depression, if you conquered depression, we want to know also how you did it. Because I know you're here because you did it. So when you're going through a blepo moment, a theoretical moment, depression will creep in. Rejection will creep in, and that's when you have to fight against it. Number four, hope you guys have it there. Reject the idea, that's right, that your future depends on men. My family and I, we were going through a rough time. We were going through a very dark desert. And God had to correct me on that one. Dios tuvo que corregirme porque yo creía que mi futuro estaba en las manos del hombre. God had to correct me because I thought my future was in the hands of men. And it wasn't. And it wasn't until I said, God, It's in you and only in you. And being here in Cary, Ohio, is a huge part of that. Number five, right? Understand that this too shall pass, and it will work out for the glory of God. I just want to help somebody here. If you're going through something, this too shall pass. If the doctors gave you a report, this too shall pass. If your children are in drugs and they are lost, this too shall pass. Because sorrow will come during the night, but gladness, joy comes in the morning. This too shall pass. The enemy is trying to let you know that, oh, you'll be always stuck in that place. And you say, no, this too shall pass. And everything will work out well for the glory of God. Because I decide to walk not by blepo, not by theorio. I decide to walk by Eden. And lastly, get ready to learn new things and experience new things in the new season of your life. I always ask this question when I'm preaching. Actually, two questions I always ask. What time is it? Oh, it's early. No, I'm just kidding. My first question is, how many of you give me 5 more minutes? And you know the answer of that one. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Good. My second question is, how many in closing I have? Okay, good. Thank you for that grace that you're giving me, sister. You know, preachers say all the time, in closing, I'm finished with this. That doesn't mean anything. It's my biggest lie. So I always ask, how many in closing I have? How many I'm finished with this I have? People say like 3, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to burn them all. Okay, in closing, number one. If we talk about resurrection, and we talk about the disciples experiencing through different lens, blepo, theorio, Eden, we cannot miss the greatest Old Testament example. And what is really interesting, folks, is that even though the Old Testament was not written in Greek, but in Hebrew and Aramaic, how do you say it in English? Aramaic, there you go. I know in Spanish it's Arameo. But can you believe that there is an Old Testament, it's called antitype scripture that shows us the same thing. And it's when Abraham went to sacrifice his son Isaac. Same thing. And what is really interesting that the scripture in the Old Testament is a strong reflection, a prophetic reflection, and in theology it's called antitype of Jesus' resurrection. Because the Bible says that Abraham, God told him, he said, Abraham, you got to travel to Mount Moriah and sacrifice your only son. So from here to there were no Ubers back then, no cars. It was a 3 days trip. 3 days. 3 days. So for 3 days, he had 2 servants and his only son. For 3 days. Walking. I'm going to sacrifice my son. I got to sacrifice. That's torture. But torture doesn't have power when there is faith. But Abraham's mind, I'm pretty sure, had a struggle. I'm more than sure about it. Because as he was walking for 3 days with two servants and his son, in his mind, he was fighting. I'm going to obey God. I've always had a problem with the scripture. Because if God ever tells me, you got to sacrifice Daniel, your son, I'll probably rebuke the devil. I'm just being honest with you. But he knew he was God. Just as the Holy Spirit many, many times has to confirm to us that he's God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He's not like, oops, you missed it. I'm sorry, I got to go to someone else. No, he will confirm it. Missed call. And then he's calling you again. He's sending text messages, emails. He finds a way. He's so good. And then when they got to the place, right at the feet of Mount Moriah, he tells the two servants, you guys wait here. And this is the key phrase, folks, key phrase. He says, we will go. We will worship and we will return. Wait a minute, Abraham. Wait a minute, Abraham. You know you're going to kill him and burn him up there. You're going to burn his body up there. What do you mean you're going to go, you're going to worship, and both of you will return? You're either lying or you're trying to make them believe that everything is okay by lying. Or maybe you're speaking in faith. Well, thanks God for the Holy Ghost, because the writer of the letters to the Hebrews gives some revelation and illumination on this matter. Because the writer in Hebrews says that when Abraham went to do that, and he said, we will go, we will worship, and we will return, he said it believing that God was powerful enough to bring his son back to life even after he would sacrifice him, because that son was the son of the promise. When God says something, folks, when God tells you something, I don't care how it looks like. It might look way different to what he said. But if you keep believing in him, I'm telling you what he said will happen. Yes. That's the God that we serve. That's a God that we believe. That's a God that I worship. Now, if you're wondering, blepo theorio eiden, where in the scripture where Abraham is participating is that? Where's that? Well, the Greek word is not there, but the attitude is. The spirit, the character is. You want to know why? The two servants, they represent blepo. All they see is Abraham, their master, walking them to Mount Moriah with their son. We were commanded to go. We'll go with him. Now notice Isaac. He asks Daddy. Daddy, I see the wood. I see the fire. But where? Logic. Where is the lamb? Where is the animal that you have to sacrifice? See, you've told me all the time that when we do sacrifices to God, we have to bring an animal. I don't see no animal. That's what happens to me, to you and I many times. When God says something, we don't see the whole picture. Something is missing. And God says, there's nothing missing. Believe me, I got this. I have a plan. Just keep believing. Keep walking towards the destiny. Keep walking toward worship. Keep lifting your hands. Keep believing. Keep believing. Keep believing. And then I will provide. Isaac. Theoreo. But we have Abraham going full idol. You know the rest of the story. And I know the rest of the story in your life too. If you decide to leave and see every situation blepo, I know the end of your story. It won't be good. You won't be able to experience so many things. If there's something, somebody here this morning that wants to see life differently, this is your morning. Because God has been watching over you since you were little, even though you never recognized it. He has been watching over you. You know that. And then this is the moment where you say, no more rational, no more logic, no more questions that are just making me be awake all night. I'm just going to abandon myself in the arms of a loving God. And even if I'm ready to lift up my knife, because I'm not seeing what God said he was going to do. Isn't that something? If I would have been God, I would have said, Abraham, you're cool, man. Good enough. I know you're good. No, God waited until the last. That tells me Abraham was going to do it. And I know you're going to do it. Not kill your son, no. But you're going to do it. You're going to keep believing God. And trusting him. Your decision. In closing, number two. Strike one, two, three. Y'all. Stand up, please. So yesterday, they took a picture of Ryan on the trip with two glasses. He had sunglasses and then reading glasses in front of them. And then Pastor Joe made a meme. You know what that is? And on the internet, he made a joke on the picture. He said, when your pastor looks like this, it means the service will be 6 hours. So when I got here this morning, I told Caleb, let's do something. So I took two pair of glasses and put it on my... And I was like reading my Bible or something. I said, send it to them. And say, we're going to have a 6-hour service this morning. I'm just joking. I'm almost closing. Third time. I want to pray and dismiss you, but I want to pray first of all for those of you that understand that God has been watching over your life. And today you want to recognize that he has been the one watching over your life. Now here's the thing, folks. Remember the scripture that says that we walk by faith, not by... It's quite interesting that in the Greek, the word sight is the word eidon. And when I was reading, I thought, like, wait a minute. I thought eidon was faith. So he's telling me we don't walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by eidon. And then this is what the Holy Spirit taught me. He said, eidon is the threshold, but it needs one more step forward. That's why the Bible says in John, he eidon and believed. Because now this is where I'm taking you. You already trust God that he's the one that has control over your life. And now this is... faith. Give a step to say, God, I surely, surely trust you. So if you're going through something this morning and you want to transition from blepo, theorio, to eidon, I want you to lift your hand and I'll be praying right now. We'll be praying together. You say, I'm going to give this thing that I'm going through in the hands of God. I'm going to turn it over to God. I'm going to just release this. I can't keep living with this burden on my shoulders. I cannot keep doing this. It's just wearing me out. It's killing me. It's contaminating my faith. So therefore, this morning, I will just throw myself in the arms of God and say, Daddy, I trust you with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my being. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray this morning that you open the eyes of the heart of the people here. We want to see you. We want to see you. Like Isaiah saw you, lifted high over my situation. And as you're worshiping, is there anybody in this place that knows, that needs salvation, that needs Jesus, that you need Him, nothing else but Him? If you want to give your heart to the Lord, just come forward this morning and give your heart to Him. If there's somebody who knows, maybe you've been in church many times, but you know in your heart you're not living right, and from this morning on you want to say, God, I'm giving you a surrendering all, just walk towards the altar and we'll pray for you. Sing it to Him.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you. In this situation in my life, I want to see you. I want to see you. I lift it up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Strengthen, my friends. Strengthen your children this morning. Thank you for your word that has the power to activate faith in your people. Father, we pray this morning that as they have listened to your word and believed in your word, they can walk out of here knowing that you are the one that is gonna give them the victory. We thank you, God, and we give you all the glory and all the honor, because you're the only one. You are the only one worthy to receive it. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Power and love as we sing, holy, 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 to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. Can we sing that part and say with me? Holy, holy, holy. Tell Him, holy, holy, holy. Make that your prayer. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Speak that word over your situation. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy. Over that situation in my life, God, I want to see you. Amen. God is good. God is good. Full Iden. Go full Iden. All the way Iden. Because God is alive. Okay, let's dismiss in prayer. Tell the person next to you, you're blessed. It's going to be a good week. It's going to be a good week. God can answer your prayers this week. The miracle that you need, God can do it this week. The three people believing with me, the rest is just going to be the same old same. No, it's going to be a good week. It's going to be a different week. It's going to be a blessed week. Amen. It's going to be a different week for the glory of God. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you all the time. You are dismissed in closing. One more. God bless you guys. Amen.